Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Moscow and welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes, and I'm joined, as usual, by my sidekick and, I suppose, the brains behind the operation. You always need that. You need a bit of eye candy. You need the brains. Good things come in small packages. Behind every great man, there's a great woman. In this case, it's Oggy. Of course, the election is over. We're all on a bit of a lull. We're in a bit of a trough. So I think it's time to reflect a bit on how exactly did the Democrats make such a show of the election? Let's have a look at something that's quite symbolic. Really, the red wall covering up the face of poor old Kamala. You might remember her. Kamala Harris, you know, she used to be... Anyway, run the video, Wuggy.
You gotta send me that one.
My girl lost a day ago.
Just I 2 days, knew. 2 days after. It's just, it's a brutal game. It's a very, very brutal game. And of course, last week in the aftermath of the Big Don's win, we started to, shine a bit of a light on where exactly the Democrats got all their cash from. You know, we know Bill Gates, he landed in with $50 million for Kamala, you know, ashtray money for this type of guy. But the Democrats actually, Augie, right, they gathered more money than the Republicans, right?
Absolutely. They got much more.
Uh-huh. So they gathered more money and they still managed to lose. And right now they are in debt, about $20 million. So there's a big question here. Where did it all go? And supposedly we should be asking the celebrities who lined up en masse behind Kamala, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, she was going to do it. Yeah, she did it all right. She screwed the pooch and you now owe tens of millions of dollars. Let's have a look at this video of, the ordinary black middle class girl, Oprah Winfrey, billionaire, rejecting any allegation that she took a bit of a backhander for helping out Kamala. Run the video, Augie.
Hey, Oprah, good morning.
This
How
is
are
great.
You, darling? You're looking very good. How do you think the election went? Oh, is it true that they paid you $1 million for the endorsement for Kamala?
Oh. Not true.
Not true, okay.
I was paid nothing.
What do
you think about all the celebrities with their mass exodus?
Interesting.
Do you think Prince Harry's going to lose his visa now that Trump's president?
Oh, it's so, so good. But a little bird tells me that maybe our old friend Oprah, the average black lady, you know, billionaire, did get a few quid, let's call it a tip. Two payments of $500,000. Nothing to Oprah, of course, just would pay for her parking. And of course, as we said last week, you know, the autopsy is ongoing. And now the sort of client media that backed Kamala 100%, she was going to win, that went, head over heel to attack the Big Don, they're now looking for a reason. Why did it all happen? How could it have all gone so wrong? Let me think. What do you think, Augie? Maybe we'll just say that all Americans are racist.
And sexist.
And basically stupid. Run the video, Oogie.
Let's be honest about this, okay? Let's be absolutely blunt about it. There were appeals to racism in this campaign. And
where?
There is racial bias in this country, and there is sexism in this country.
That's racist.
And anybody who thinks that that did not in any way impact on the outcome of this race is wrong. I'm not saying that was the main reason that Kamala Harris lost and Donald Trump won. And I think they ran, honestly, strategically, his campaign. And I've said it many times.
So they're not racist.
They ran a very smart campaign. It was an ultimately rational, well-conceived, and well-executed campaign for an irrational, often irrational candidate.
What?
And they overcame.
So it was brilliant, but it was terrible. It was good, but it was racist.
Message or the message that they thought he should be selling to the country.
What? Did anybody... What? And meanwhile, back in old London town, a lot of people disappointed, particularly those supporting the Ukraine scam, and none more than good old Boris Johnson, the serial philanderer, liar, fraud, fake, and warmonger. He has decided that the reason people voted Republican and voted for the Big Don was that they're sexually interested in Vladimir Putin, that they have a homoerotic fascination with the boss up the road here. Interesting. But there's probably a different reality. I think Republicans probably have a homoerotic fascination with the big guy in Tel Aviv. And that's not a euphemism. But why don't they all just chill out and relax? Look, I mean, it's only an election. And after all, check out Sleepy Joe. They took him out of the fridge the other day to meet the big Don, and he looked completely relaxed. Look, I've never seen the guy happier. He seems absolutely delighted that it's all over. And maybe somebody else is happy it's all over. AOC, you know, one of the darlings of the Liberal Democrat Party in the US, so anti-Trump, so anti-Elon, anti-everything. Anyone in a pickup truck with a baseball cap should be stuck on a bonfire, according to AOC. But AOC, her focus has always been on the American people, the people who voted for policy generation, right? Correct, Dougie?
In the video game studies.
Yeah, in a video game. AOC has revealed that she spent basically days and days and days online playing a video game. And you know why? It's because she don't have a husband and she don't want no husband in her life. Run the video, Dougie.
This is my personal farm, which is Alexandria. And then I started a new farm last night.
This is
which
real.
I named the AOC farm. It's supposed to say Capital Critter Farm, but the R got cut off. But I'm going to show you. I want to show off because I don't want y'all to think that I'm new to this. I'm true to this, okay? I got 169 hours in. Someone asked me, who did I marry?
Who's paying for that?
I'm unmarried, period.
I am unmarried. Surprise, surprise.
I don't need no man on my farm.
And of course, other people got mad too. Even government officials, FEMA, a supervisor of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, were heavily involved in the hurricane just before the election. One of their supervisors decided to tell people not to help Trump supporters. You got to just love the balance. And given that AOC is spending most of her time on a computer game and you're paying for it, maybe it is a good time to launch the Department of Government Efficiency. And the big Don is busily picking his cabinet. You know, I'd say Elon is probably picking the cabinet. But behind the scenes, a little bit of concern that there's been quite a sort of Israel fantasy here, a bit of a Zio obsession. Augie, a lot of pro-Israeli names in the new cabinet, would you say? Is that fair to say, old boy?
Quite a number, man. There is Kristi Noem, Tom Homan, Lee Zeldin, or Michael Waltz, all of them hardline pro-Israelis. And there's more to come as we talk about it.
Of course, the American media isn't that interested in talking about that because it's a given now. I mean, being a Zionist supporter is just like needing to be a Christian if you want to come become president of the U.S. now, or even become any element of the cabinet formed by the president. But what the American media does seem very interested in is the tattoos of the new Secretary of Defense, Mr. Hegseth. They don't want to talk about the fact that he was an Army Ranger, you know, an elite forces soldier, that he served three tours, he was awarded three Bronze Stars. That's not really relevant. They want to talk about his tattoos. Let's have a look at good old Pete's tattoos. Run the video, Augie. Yeah. So what?
I mean, at this point, it's a little bit cringe.
It's a bit cringe, isn't it? Who cares? I've got tattoos as well. Me and Augie got matching tattoos. We'll be revealing them at the Christmas episode. Mr. Hegseth, of course, is a masterful politician. He's not just a Fox TV show host or an ex-soldier. He is a man with great command of words and very evocative. RFK is also in the cabinet. We'll talk about him in a minute. But old RFK's uncle famously asked, do not ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. So good old Pete has decided to modify that somewhat and say, never ask any questions about Israel's mass murder, the establishment of the Israeli state in 1947 through a basic pogrom where hundreds of thousands of people were killed, villages were bulldozed, people were murdered and raped. Never ask those questions. Run the video, Woogie.
When I came here, a lot of people asked me, a couple of people this morning in a press conference, what can Israel learn from America? Was asked a couple of times. And each time I stopped and I said, you need to reverse that question. The question is, what can America learn from Israel?
Give me a break. I mean, listen, just take a walk into one of the ancient Palestinian Arab, you know, olive groves up on up on one of the hills, and you know, ask one of the Arabs there what, and they would go, what, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. But then you bump into an Israeli, and he's got a pair of Nike shoes on, and he speaks with a South Bronx accent. You know, what can Israel learn from America? Give me a
break.
But at least when it comes to Mr. Hegseth, you know he's a man that you can trust. To hit the target, he'll fully understand what's going on in the military as a soldier himself. You know, in football they have a term, you know, a good striker doesn't always make a good manager. But in this case, you never know. Let's have a look at Mr. Hegseth, the new Secretary of Defense, the man in charge of the biggest and most best-funded army on the earth. Remember, the Americans spend over $800 billion a year on their military. They buy and sell more weapons than the rest of the planet combined. And let's have a look at the man in charge of all of that, basically demonstrating his skills, let's say. Run the video, Augie. Here we go. Here he comes. Whoop. Oh! Yes. The throwing axe. Completely misses the target. And watch the poor old drummer boy. Bang! Yes. Have some of that. Yeah. Yeah. What's best about this, Augie, is the fact that the other two dudes on the drums just pretend nothing has happened. They've been completely... Look. Check it. They completely, like, you know, the axe comes flying past your ear. Look. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's keep going. Keep drumming. Let's wind up this segment with a little picture of Donald Trump Jr. I like some of the stuff he posts online, but this was just a bit crap. Why? Because he's holding a weapon, an AR-15, with a little cartoon of Hillary Clinton in jail. Newsflash, boys. You didn't put her in jail, and it's 2024. And what's that noise I hear? Maybe it's the breaking of glass in the middle of the night as the neocons sort of sneak into Trump's cabinet through the windows of the White House in the dead of night. All the promise of a new brush sweeping clean. I don't know. Marco Rubio has been appointed and will be appointed most probably as Secretary of State. Secretary of State in the US, for those that don't know, is an exceptionally powerful role which will engage with America's enemies and friends across the globe. Remember the guy, Tony Blinken? Yeah, say no more. Now, Mr. Rubio, though, has a little bit of a checkered past, doesn't he, Augie, with the big Don, let's say. Hate to bring it up, Don, hate to bring it up, but we got to do it. We got to do it here on the Moscow Mules. We're exceptionally well balanced. So let's have a look at what the big Don thought about Mr. Rubio a few years back. We're going to play a little bit of tweet ping pong. You ready, Yogi?
Yes,
okay,
let's go.
Let me start. Here's what the big Don thought of Marco. I think it was back in 2015, was it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's have a read. Okay. Now, Marco Rubio is a total lightweight who I wouldn't trust to hire to run one of my smaller companies. I just wouldn't trust him. A highly overrated politician. Well, Augie, what you got?
I can't do the Trump's accent, but here we go.
Okay.
Sheldon Adelson is looking to give big dollars to Rubio because he feels he can mold him into his perfect little puppet. I agree.
Oh, yeah, sweet. Yeah, I love this stuff. The internet never forgets. But guess what? Good old Marco wasn't that fond of the big Don either. I'd say this one was you know, feverishly deleted as soon as his name was mentioned for the big job. What? Get that deleted immediately. Run the video, Augie.
There is no way we are going to allow a con artist to take over the conservative movement, and Donald Trump is a con artist.
Donald Trump is a con artist.
Oh.
He's a con man. I think it's time to unmask him for what he is.
Oh,
con man who's taking advantage of people's fears and anxieties about the future, portraying himself as some sort of strong guy. He's not a strong guy.
He doesn't sweat because his pores are clogged from the spray tan.
You all have friends. You all have friends that are thinking about voting for Donald Trump. Friends, do not let friends vote for con artists.
We're about to turn over the conservative movement to a person that has no ideas of any substance on the important issues, the nuclear codes of the United States.
Isn't
an erratic individual.
So we cannot allow the conservative movement to be taken over by a con artist.
Yeah, you can't allow a con artist, blah, blah, blah. But you can bend over and fall to your knees and praise him because he gave you a big job. Oh, yeah, I just love the integrity. So you really got to ask yourself, how come Marco Rubio and the big Don, Augie, are suddenly best mates? I wonder how. Maybe it's because Marco is, you know, one of the free Cubans. You know, you got to take a few boxes, give a few jobs to the different, you know, ethnic groups. But it's probably more to do with our friends out in Tel Aviv. Yes, the old, the most democratic country in the Middle East, the most humane army in the world. Yes, the Israelis. So I guess the glue that's holding together this new power couple must be very powerful, must be a big, strong ethnic group, powerful in banking, media, industry, Geez, I just can't think who it could be. Augie, any ideas?
You're going to kill me if I say.
I'll say it. They both love the Zionists and are more than happy to stand back and let them put the boot into the poor old Palestinians. Run the video.
Senator Rubio, will you call for ceasefire in Gaza?
No, I will not. On the contrary.
Rubio,
are you filming it? I want you guys to get this. I want them to destroy every element of Hamas they can get their hands on. These people are vicious animals who did horrifying crimes. And I hope you guys post that.
And what about the civilians that are being killed every day?
Hamas should stop hiding behind civilians, putting civilians in the way. Hamas knew that this was going to lead to this. So Hamas has stopped building their military installations underneath hospitals.
So you don't care that 15,000 have died? You don't care about the babies that are being killed every day?
I think it's terrible, and I think Hamas is 100% to blame.
It's ridiculous, right? I mean, look, let's face the fact. Nobody wants to talk about the fact why Hamas exists. Just like back in Ireland in the 70s and all through the last century, no one wanted to ask why the IRA exists, ETA exists, why anybody exists. No occupation, no Hamas. And another shock pick by the big Don, maybe this one's not so bad, a guy called Matt Gaetz. Now, Matt Gaetz has not completely avoided controversy. One thing you should never say to a woman is that you're fat, ugly, and basically retarded. But Matt, when called out on suggesting that women attending abortion rallies were fat and ugly, kind of stuck to his guns. You know, you're going to got to hand it to him. When you're in the hole, stop digging would come to mind. Let's have a listen to what Matt had to say about the fairer sex.
Is it safe to say that based off of your comments, you're suggesting that these women at these abortion rallies are ugly and overweight?
Yes.
What do you say to people who think that those comments are offensive?
Be offended.
So maybe Matt Augie, in fairness to him, has a bull filter that he can't really hold back, you know, because when the narco-fuhrer, you know, the dictator from Kiev, the ex-actor, turned up in the US Congress and everyone was waving their flags so energetically, there was one guy kind of stood out, right? And he decided that he wasn't going to applaud the man responsible for the mass killing of hundreds of thousands of his own people, basically. And he kept quiet and silent and he made a little silent protest. Got to hand it to him. Fair play. Run the video, Augie. Every time I see that guy's face.
I believe.
I come in peace.
Taboos between us.
Why is his English so terrible?
I hate this guy. And there's been two other big names, of course. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, the Indian sort of entrepreneur. Big money there. And the biggest money, of course, is Elon. The man behind the scenes, many say he's actually the man in charge, you know. You never know. Watch this space. They've been given control of the Department of Government Efficiency. Now, Dodge or Doggy, whatever you want to call it yourself. Now, there's something interesting about this, Augie, that the people at home may or may not be aware of. Elon Musk has recently, in the last year or so, invested in a big new cryptocurrency, right? What was the name of that cryptocurrency? Augie?
Its name was Doge.
Oh, how do you spell that, old boy? How do you spell it?
D-O-G-E.
So exactly like this new government department that he's convinced the president to give him control of.
Got to do it to make money.
Uh-huh. So, of course, we're not suggesting that there's any sort of clown world comparison to a multi-billionaire promoting his own cryptocurrency by establishing a government department, which didn't exist before he backed Donald Trump with hundreds of millions of dollars and knows what else. We're not suggesting that. And of course, there's been some other big name appointments. Augie, who was that guy? The guy that can't speak? RFK, Robert F. Kennedy, the nephew of John F. Kennedy, who was, yeah, thanks, Augie. He's been appointed as the Secretary of Health. Basically, he's in charge of the complete show that he's been complaining about for years. Fluoride in the water, mercury in the fish, gays in the primary schools. Let's see, it's going to be interesting stuff. But on top of this, there's one who is probably my favourite, good old Tulsi Gabbard. Very good-looking lady. She has been put in charge of the domestic intelligence department, basically, national intelligence. Now, Tulsi's got a lot of very interesting things to say about Ukraine and America's forever wars. So this is probably, Augie, one of the most encouraging appointments, I think, for people on this side of the pond who are really hoping for something different to happen. Let's have a listen to probably the only pro-American appointee that made it on onto the top table. Run the video, Augie.
Our military-industrial complex has done incredibly well this year thanks to permanent Washington's hawkish foreign policy objectives, especially in Ukraine. This year, Northrop Grumman is up 41%. Lockheed Martin is up 37%. Raytheon is up 16%. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 is down 20%. NASDAQ down 35%. Why they have a vested interest in remaining in a constant state of war? They all make money. Meanwhile, the needs of everyday citizens here in the United States and in every other country around the world are being neglected.
I mean, look, how did this woman, talking so much sense, manage to get into the cabinet? Let's start the bets. Let's put up the chart. Who gets screwed over and thrown out of the Trump cabinet first? I know who my money's on. So, and interestingly, good old Tulsi landed herself on the Mir Tavorets list, which is the peacemaker list, a Ukrainian government-affiliated website that lists people who are the enemies of Ukraine, people who dared to challenge the Ukroscam. You get your date of birth put on there, like me, and they also put in your date of liquidation, the day they kill you. Mine is still currently empty, thankfully. But Tulsi was conveniently removed from the list as soon as she was appointed as the National Intelligence Chief of the United States of America, who just so happens to have given you $200 billion. So $200 million, I sound like Joe Biden.
Over $1.3 trillion.
So a convenient little segue towards the old Ukroscam. Nothing much has changed. The Russians still advancing. The Ukrainians still dying in their hundreds of thousands. Zelensky still stealing hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, at least according to a Ukrainian MP. But guess what? Over in London, let's face it, has been the engine of the Ukroscam. They're very energetic about it. You know, empires in decline, they tend to get behind causes. A war of distraction, good old Boris, you know, supporting Azov. Who could forget? And guess what happened in London? A little football match, and the Ukrainian supporters decided to evoke memories for the people in Britain who suffered terribly under the Nazi bombardment, or the Blitz, as it was called in London. Members of my old family were there, and they killed tens of thousands of people. So how did the Ukrainians thank the British for the aid, the money, and the refuge? Well, let's have a look, Augie. I think they decided to enact something very of the period, of the time, let's say. Run the video, Augie. Yeah. Nothing to see here. Absolutely fine. Don't worry about it.
Also, notice how they're holding this guy by the balls.
Yeah, they made a little chair for the Nazi. It's called a Nazi chair.
Double Z kind.
Yeah. Oh, it's a double now. Yeah. He's really getting into it. But let's not forget this chant or cry or salute that many sort of libtards and Ukro fantasists energetically shout and scream in their parliaments. It was actually a battle cry of the OUN and the UPA to neo-Nazi or Nazi collaborating groups in Ukraine during the Second World War, who energetically massacred people at Babi Yar and at Voylin. Hundreds of thousands of Poles, Gypsies, Russians and dissidents were massacred by these people. But let's just memory hole that. And speaking of the memory hole, why don't we talk about Canada? Canada has decided to memory hole its Nazi past. In the aftermath of the Second World War, the Canadians decided to give, let's say, refuge, not to Ukrainian refugees, but to people from the SS and collaborators and mass murderers. And now they've decided that they don't really want to talk about it. Major sort of problems with it, I would say, Organis, correct?
Exactly. Federal government departments advised against releasing the names of 900 alleged Nazi war criminals currently living in Canada, fearing that it could fuel Russian propaganda and hurt Ukraine, while posing a threat to the security of surviving SS veterans settled in Canada.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. You got to worry about the surviving SS veterans. Let me think. What happened the last time an SS veteran turned up at the Canadian Parliament? Oh, Yaroslav Hunka. Remember him? The guy that Trudeau said he thought he was just an ordinary janitor. Yeah, right. And when America sneezes, Europe catches cold, they say. And of course, that's the case now that the big Don is in the driving seat in Washington. Major panic breaking out in Europe. We don't need the Americans. We will keep destroying our countries all on our own to give the money to Ukraine. That's basically what's happening, right, Augie? They're making of Europe in order to give the cash to good old the narco-fuhrer.
Exactly correct, Che. The pay pigs at European Union have already spent nearly the equivalent of a joint annual budget, that is 118 billion euros, to support Ukraine just this year.
Oh, wow, that's just eye-watering stuff. And it's ordinary taxpayers paying for it. And this all comes as the German government basically falls on its ass because the finance minister wouldn't give good old Olaf 15 billion more to send to Ukraine. We all know where the money's going in Ukraine, in the boot of your car or out to your dacha to be wrapped in plastic and stuck in the wall. It's like something from Breaking Bad. But Olaf himself has professed to the Reichstag, Bundestag, sorry. He has declared that he is doing a very good job of handling Germany's money. And it wasn't a stand-up comedy show, but his statement got a ton of laughs. The beating heart of Europe's industry has now got a significant dose of heart failure, all thanks to the comedian, Mr. Scholz. Und Video, Agi.
Und ich bin sehr stolz darauf, dass Land Deutschland ein Land ist, das gut mit seinem Geld umgeht und auf eine Staatsverschuldung. Ich bin sehr stolz darauf, dass Deutschland gut mit seinem Geld umgeht.
People are literally laughing at him. They're literally laughing at him. Wow, it's just sweet. And while Olaf puts on his stand-up show in the Reichstag, the Bundestag, he's also been on the phone to Big Vlad up the road here. You know, it's kind of one of those crawling phone calls. I will never speak to him again. We will never communicate with the Russians. Yeah, but you did and you will and you are asking him to end the war in Ukraine. Think about peace. Please, please, Vlad, you know, come to your senses, you know. But he was probably asking, could he get a little dacha south of Moscow somewhere to hide in when the German people kicked the door in on the Reichstag, Bundestag. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of the Moscow Mules here at the Center of Disinformationology. And what's absolutely abundantly clear is that the West is spiraling into a kind of chaotic miasma. And nobody seems to know what's actually happening in the US. People get change they ask for and then they complain about it. The only place you seem to get any stability is here in Russia and China and other countries who are busy getting on, looking after their own people, building their economies and making friendships, building relationships. The horror, the shock of that. Maybe the West should take a leaf out of our book. Maybe. We'll be here next week to narrate the perpetual collapse, which is the clown show of the West. See you then.
Хорошо.
Хорошо.
Да.